Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, your host of Wise Women on PRN. And we're so happy today to have another interesting guest that is not unsimilar from the guest we had last week. Because as you well know, I've had many world-famous, wonderful people as guests on my show that Gary Null has requested that I have. But in addition to what we have found with people like, you know, Jean Bolin, who will be on our show again, she was at that wonderful conference this month with all these great things that she's doing and contributing so formidably into the world consciousness. But, you know, we have many wise women who are not famous. And for some wonderful reason, they happened to come into my shop in Old Town Cottonwood. And, you know, people have said my shop is a little, you know, Sedona's famous for its vortexes, and they call my shop a little vortex. So I giggle every time that I hear that. But I do want to give great credit to our wonderful introductory music once again. So John Spoon and his partner, David Fulford, Serpens, it's spelled S-E-R-P-E-N-S, not Serpents. So sometimes people get that confused. And while we only have audio here, I so recommend that you get on YouTube. The visuals are absolutely astonishing. And so you know, look them up on YouTube to be a follower. They're wonderful. Visuals on The Only One are incredible. You can just play it over and over again because it's truly an enchanting moment in music. They've done an amazing job and so inspiring and bringing you into such a wonderful space as far as your consciousness. So, I mean, their visuals are just amazing. So do your best. Go on YouTube and see Serpens, S-E-R-P-E-N-S, our wonderful music that brings us in and takes us out. So with that said, I would like to welcome our guest today. And we're going to be introducing a kind of way of how, again, the universe supports us. And Lonnie Johnson came into my shop and we started, you know, talking, connecting with the dots. And so I invited her to be a guest and bring this kind of wisdom and perhaps entertain your thought to move into some of these things that seem somewhat supernatural. And connecting with source, as we call it, and see where we can go with developing these aspects of our own consciousness that can be very, very helpful and sometimes even life-saving, as we will find today. And I would like to then introduce and welcome Lonnie Johnson to Wise Women. Hi, Lonnie. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for inviting me to share my story.
So Lonnie, give us a little bit of your background so that our listeners can know a little more about you.
Sure. I'm in my 50s and I'm a nurse. And I live on the Central Coast of California. And I've worked in healthcare for many, many years. I'm what they affectionately refer to as like the source. I know where all the policies originally came from, and the historical reference is often what they say about us older gals. But I've been in healthcare for over 32 years. But I also, in addition to having a very strong background in traditional Western medicine, I also have a lot of friends who are very spiritual. My grandmother used to make herbal remedies, herb and things like that. And so the wise old crone, is very comfortable to me. When we were in Sedona, I actually was with my sister, and she's very not that way at all. And she was complaining about aches and pains, and I made her a bubble bath and told her that she had to take a bubble bath. And she's like, I'm not into that voodoo stuff. I said, it's not voodoo. Just get in the damn hot tub. Her and her husband, and 2 hours later, they got out and they said, I'm not hurting anymore. And I'm like, because you soaked in lavender and arnica. And it's not-
That's a great story. I know. And isn't that interesting?
Must you fight me every time? You know, I'm always right. And but so many people forget that some of our strongest medicines are made from herbs. Foxglove, the Indians used to treat bad heart. What medicine is made from foxglove? Digitalis, which is very important.
No. What is it?
Digitalis, digoxin, is made from foxglove.
Well, of course, you know, Gary Noll has his wonderful podcast every day, and he brings enlightenment to, you know, these things because basically, as you well know, so many of the pharmaceutical patented formulas came from natural herbs that then they wanted to make sure they could make money on, because you can't make money on telling people what the natural flowers and herbs are to heal us. Now, we do our podcast on Zoom, and it's kind of flashing a little bit that you have a low transmission band. So every once in a while, I lose a little bit of your signal. So if that happens, I'll just go ahead and ask you to repeat what you said so that our audience can hear that. So it's always amusing. I don't know. Is there just always one of us in the family that, you know, wants so much to take care of the family, and they resist us and resist us and resist us. And we have to deal with that. And we have to, you know, it's like you just go to the place where you go, you know, well, I'm just not going to help you. You know, find it on your own. So,
they did get in the hot tub and they felt wonderful afterwards, and their pain was very much relieved. And I was very happy for that. And so I kind of had to laugh about that.
Sure.
But you're so right. Right now there's a study, and we're going to talk about cancer and my experience with cancer, but there's a study that's going on in the VA right now where they're using lozenges to reduce tumors before surgery for throat cancer.
Wow.
And can't remember what, but it's a Middle Eastern spice that they're using.
Wow. And you don't remember what it is?
I don't. It's funny because I have a bottle of it at home, and right now I can't think of it. Oh, it's turmeric. It's turmeric. Because I drink a shot of this every night to coat my throat because of my cancer. My ENT was like, it can't hurt, you know. And I'm like, well, you know, the VA is doing a study where they're actually using concentrated turmeric and capsaicin to shrink tumors, and it looks really effective before surgery.
Now that's turmeric or turmeric?
Turmeric. I can't say it very well because of my tongue, but turmeric. Yep. They's doing a study right now where they took this, and it's concentrated, and they're giving it to patients pre-op, and it's actually shrinking tumors.
Beautiful. Wow. Well, since we've touched on that, and there's always more for us, you know, to get into, but why don't you go ahead and share that incredible story that you did at my shop? I would love our audience to hear that.
Certainly. So I developed tongue pain about probably 7 months ago. I started waking up every morning and feeling like I had bit my tongue in my sleep and it wasn't getting better. And I had a sense that there was something wrong. And I was very short-staffed at work. But I really felt like I needed to see a physician. And so I called my primary care and they fit me in. And he said, you know, you never call, you never come in, Lonnie. So I felt like I needed to see you. And I said, I really feel like there's something wrong. And I explained to him what was going on. And he looked and he said, well, it looks like you bit your tongue. And I said, but it's never not hurting, Chris. And he said, well, let's check your throat. And he did a throat swab and he said, oh, you have a touch of strep. And I said, well, that's weird because I never get strep. And he goes, well, let's protect your heart and put you on antibiotics. And I said, well, I'm fine with that. But this doesn't feel like strep, Chris. There's something wrong with my tongue. And he said to me, Lonnie, it's not cancer. I promise you it's not cancer. And I said to him, you know, this is classic pain that's not going away. This is classic. And he said, you have none of the risk factors. I promise you, Lonnie, it's not cancer. Take your antibiotics. All right. So I took my antibiotics and I felt relieved because I really had felt like there was something wrong. But it didn't make it better. And I was very, very busy at work. And I kind of put it off in my head and thought, well, if it's not better, I see him in a couple months. We'll see. Well, about 4 weeks after I had seen him, I woke up and I had had a dream that I was going to die. And I had this, it's in my heart area. And I always say, if something's on my heart, that if I don't follow up on it, it always bites me. And I'll even say to my husband, you know, honey, this is on my heart. And he knows that's not Lonnie's opinion. That is just a sense of something. And it always is right. If I don't follow up or if I say this to someone and they don't listen, it always bites you. And so I looked up on Google who treats oral cancer, and the whole time in my head I'm having this argument, this is ridiculous, you know, he said it's not cancer. And I said, yep, but it's on your heart, Lonnie. You have to follow up, because I felt like if I did not see somebody that day, I was going to die. And it was this overwhelming feeling. So I found the oral facial maxillary surgeon. There's a new guy in town. And I called them, and initially they said, who's referring you? And I said, I'm referring myself. My insurance, thank God, lets me self-refer. They ran a check and they said, I can see you tomorrow. And so I walked into the office. He saw me. He was wonderful. He said, well, it's probably nothing, but based on what you're telling me, we should probably do a biopsy.
And just for you to be able to get,
are you okay with getting on the schedule? And I said,
yeah, for you to be able to get
in one day, for that doesn't happen.
That, I mean, who gets an appointment the next day? I just want to kind of make sure that we, yep, you know, point out a couple of interesting facts.
Absolutely. And the appointment time was at a time that I could work with my schedule at work. I mean, it was truly the universe saying, this is the right thing. The feeling that I had, and I truly believe it was, you know, I say God, but the universe, whatever you believe in, that force. And it was overpowering that I had to follow up. It was that, like the mother who knows you need to check on your children and they're in trouble. I knew that there was something that I had to follow up on. His nurse came in and said, we can do this today. And I thought, okay, he's telling me it's okay, but they are going to, they have a time to biopsy this today. Again, that doesn't happen. So I said, okay, here we are. And unfortunately, my husband was on his way to bowling because he bowls every Tuesday. And so I had to do the topical anesthesia because I didn't have anyone to give me a ride home. But I knew I needed to get this done. And a week later, I bounced into his office, still a bit in denial, and said, this is the part where you tell me I'm allergic to strawberries, right? And he goes, no. This is the part where I tell you you're a very lucky young lady that you trusted your gut, because your pathology came back as dysplasia, which is pre-cancer, and this is going to turn into cancer if we don't get it out. So we need to get you scheduled. And I'm a nurse, and oral cancer is a very, very, very scary thing. And so, of course, I cried and I said, okay, let's do it. And we were able to get on the schedule for 2 weeks, again, unheard quickly. I went to one of the local facilities, had my surgery, and was discharged. And he called me that night. I could not talk because they actually had taken a third of my tongue out, unbeknownst to me. And he called me that night and he said, Ms. Johnston, I need to let you know that the frozen sections came back carcinoma. Had your pre-op showed cancer, I would not have been the one to do your surgery. I would have referred you to UCLA. But the good news is I feel like we got wide sections and it's clear you will need further follow-up. Because I, again, would not have done your surgery. We need to do a neck dissection and make sure it has not progressed. We'll talk about this next week at your follow-up. But I may need to send you to UCLA. I've been a nurse. I've been a case manager for a really long time. UCLA is amazing, but it takes a really long time to be seen by them. And the whole time, like months, the whole time the cancer would have been growing. And and time is really important. So we went to the follow-up. I did have my husband go with me. And he did not know of a local ENT that he would feel comfortable. I live in a small town, but there's a bigger town fairly close. And I used to be a case manager in that town, and I know the director. So I sent her a text. And I said, do you trust anybody to open up your neck? And she was in a meeting, but because of, you know, our friendship, she said, why? And I said, because I'm in the doctor's office, I have cancer. She sent me a name, he sent the referral, and then she said back to me, I need to see you in my office tomorrow. And we were able to get the referral and we were able to get seen and approved. The next day I did go into her office, which is a town away. And she hugged me and said, you're the second one of my friends to have cancer this week. I'm so sorry. We cried. And she said, who are you seeing for oncology? And I told her the name of who I wanted to see, but I said, but I don't know if she's taking patients. She picked up the phone and made a phone call. And said, hang out. I'll let you know what she says. I actually got a phone call. She worked me in that day. It is unheard of to be diagnosed and seen that quickly. I had my neck dissection 2 weeks later. It was all clear, but it truly all lined up. Now, what the direct route of what should have happened, according to the cookbook medicine, is my path should have come back cancer. I should have got a referral to UCLA. That would have taken a really long time, and they would have done the tongue and the neck together, and then they would have made the decision as to whether I would need radiation. And that all of those surgeries would probably be happening now. However, because the universe knew what I needed, and I truly believe in the universe, and during the time that this was all happening, I have a very large group of employees who are very diverse. And my husband has a very large family. So we had people literally around the world from every religion praying for me. I have employees who are Muslim. I have employees who are different Asian religions, and a whole bunch of different Christian religions. And we had people in the Philippines, in Afghanistan, in Jordan, in Egypt, in what used to be called Bangladesh, which is now Myanmar, Georgia, in Central American countries, truly all around the world, all with the message of Hiolani. And I truly believe that the power and the spirituality is what led to me being healed. And I believe that there was a plan, and that direct route would not have given the best results. And I believe that I'm here because of that message and that spiritual energy out there. And because I did listen, I truly believe when I was diagnosed as stage two. And had I waited, it would have been three or four. I, at this point, do not need radiation. Today, I am having my first follow-up, and I pray that it's good. But if not, we'll deal with it. But I'm back at work. I'm back, you know, spreading the word. Because, number one, I want women. Women are in our culture, we're sometimes told not to trust that gut, and to ignore those feelings. And a long time ago, I read a book by Gavin DeBecker called The Gift of Fear. And it talked about women who meet bad people who push down those feelings, and that you need to trust your gut. When you meet someone, sometimes your feeling is just, I can trust this person. And sometimes for whatever reason, there's something that you pick up microscopically that tells you I'm not safe. And women are conditioned to not trust that. If you feel that, you need to trust that. And if you've not read Gavin DeBecker's book, The Gift of Fear, read it. It is an amazing book. And I teach my grandchildren that it's okay to say no. You need to trust that gut. It doesn't mean that you're not a nice person. It means that you are in touch with that sacred space that we're given by spirit. And we need to listen to that. And I'm so grateful that in this situation, I did listen to it because it saved my life. And I'm so grateful to God that he spoke to me. And because I do believe that that was God. I lost my grandmother and my best friend the same year to cancer. And it's something that I'm afraid of, but I faced it head on with that powerful network of support that I had. And women do need to advocate for themselves. If you feel something's wrong, even if this person, and I love my doctor, my primary care doctor is an amazing person. Unfortunately, he missed it. And the reality is I understand why he missed it, because I did not have any of the risk factors. I never smoked ever in my whole entire life. Oral cancer is on the uprise because of HPV. I did not have HPV. It all tested negative. There is no reason for me to have lost a third of my tongue at this young age. But the reality was, for whatever reason, my body did end up with cancer. And had I not addressed it, it would have killed me. And so I'm grateful to that. And to the ladies and the gentlemen that are out there, trust your gut. You must advocate for yourself. If you do really, truly feel there's something wrong, keep, you know, get a second opinion, go someplace else. One of my best friends, who's a nurse, has a friend who had the same experience as me. It was a gentleman. And for over a year, they kept giving him antibiotics. If you have a sore mouth, if you have something that doesn't feel right in your mouth, if they don't listen to you, go get a second opinion from an ENT, from an oral surgeon. This is a condition that is on the uprise, and it will kill you. And it's very treatable. Several of my employees actually are married to oncologists, and they reached out to me and they're like, if you need a second opinion, I'm like, I really appreciate it, but I'm okay. You know, I'm very grateful that it all lined up, and that for now I'm cured, and I'm claiming that I'm cured.
Yes, claiming that you're cured. You know, Gary Null, of course, I've been in his presence, and been part of his staff at his healing retreats, and he created a video with one of our PRN hosts, who's been, you know, with the station for a long, long time, Lutrice. And I will. Did I send you that video?
Mm-mm. No, please do.
I sent it to my guest last week. Did you send me an email by chance?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. So I will forward that video. What, you know, Gary is known for doing miraculous work in short period, in a very short period of time, because Lutrice was, you know, one of those sent home to die kind of stories. And she had a lot of compromising conditions. Now, Gary has very aggressive protocols that he puts people on. And all of her problems were turned around in a matter of 3 weeks. So I'm going to make sure that I send that video over to you, because, of course, you know, as you, with your grandmother's background and her natural ways, Gary approaches things from that place. And, you know, when you, it's wonderful that you're cured. And of course, it's continuously a good thing to keep on top of the conditions in your body to make sure that nothing rears its ugly head again. Because, you know, we know that sometimes the cancer can come back, and it's really about a lifestyle that Gary promotes and protocols that make good sense. Mm-hmm. And many of his protocols have been used by thousands of people I've been present to just amazing results that he has demonstrated in very short order. But, you know, again, he's very aggressive with the supplements, the diet, the exercise, things that I'm sure that you can recognize as valuable. And yes. So, you know, he does not feel comfortable with chemo or with radiation. Those aggressive procedures damage the whole body, as well you know, and he has garnered results that don't use those types of aggressive procedures. And you know, it takes discipline to utilize what he has in his protocols, but they're all very, you know, natural and easy to do, as long as you can take on the discipline of doing that. So I'll make sure that I do forward that video to you specifically. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I really love about your story has to do with the fact that you had a powerful dream. And you made that message clear to our listeners, the importance of us listening to our gut or our intuition. You know, women's intuition has been touted as probably a little more profound than the male counterpart, for obvious reasons. The nature of a woman and the nature of a man is different. And it's part of, I think, what women bring to the table in relationships, and part of our job, I believe, as the feminine, is to be able to tune into that part of us that brings forward the otherworldly aspects, whatever labels we want to, you know, make, to make that recognized in our own beings, and to strengthen those things in our consciousness. We've had Michelle Phillips, who is a healer and intuitive. We've had other intuitives who have demonstrated their skill set in that way. And I believe that all of us have the capacity to strengthen those aspects. You know, it's like you go to the gym, you strengthen your bodily muscles. Well, there are muscles within our consciousness that can be strengthened. Years ago, there was the Silva Mind Control Systems, and I was part of that whole system, and they did week long seminars where they trained you, and they showed you how to go in, and they would give us case like we would write down on a card, on a 3x5 card, of a person's name, and that we knew what the illness was and where they were located and their phone number. And then we submitted those cards in to have other students in that class be able to take that, just the name, not knowing what the illness was. And then we would actually close our eyes, and with that, just the name of that person and where they were located, then we would close our eyes and scan that person's body and begin to test our ability to see if we could see what that illness was. And the objective at the end of that 5-day workshop was that we would be able, you know, to have that skill. Well, within 2 days, I was already very accurate with being able to see, you know, to scan the body and see what was wrong with the name of the person that I had. Now, my grandmother also was very intuitive, and she had precognitive dreams, and that was on my father's side. And my mother, on my mother's side, had that ability too. So from the time I was just a young child, and I've mentioned this on other podcasts for various reasons, but, you know, I had precognitive dreams from the time I was, you know, little. I thought that was just ordinary, and caused me to, I guess, take that trajectory of trying to understand what reality is, because, you know, I'd have a precognitive dream, and then 2 days later, exactly what I dreamt. It was like a coming attraction of, you know, here's your life, Kathleen. Here's a coming attraction. It's like, well, this is really weird. And then I'd have dreams about finding, you know, if something was lost, I would have a dream, and I would, you know, the next day or whatever, I would be doing exactly just standing there, and I would just follow my dream. I would walk towards this, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I would just, as a child, you know, oh, the glasses that were lost, put your arm behind that bookshelf, and that's where they had fallen down. So, you know, this continuous kind of presence has followed me my entire life. I too had warning dreams. I dreamt that I was hit by a semi truck, and it was so, you know, daunting. I called a couple of my friends, and I said, "Look, I think I'm out of here, you guys. I'm just letting you know I'm saying goodbye because I think this is coming." Well, in truth, I was hit by a semi truck. And by the grace of God, it was, I don't know, you know, what system went into play there, that on the 405 going into the, you know, the Ventura Freeway, I was hit and shot through 3 lanes of traffic. And there was no shoulders anywhere except that one spot, and it was on an incline. I landed on that little section shoulder, so that stopped me from going into the other side of ongoing traffic, or I would have been just a little ball of metal somewhere in the middle of it, and would indeed have been killed, you know. So and of course I have dreams about people who I often get the precognitive dreams that, you know, my stepmother or my former husband, I get these dreams, and I know, uh-oh, you know, a lot of warning dreams about cars. So whenever I get a warning dream, I think, I don't want to get a ticket today. I better be a little careful because I'm still a California driver. I just got a speeding ticket the other day, you know. So these things that are common for me And I'm guessing that wasn't the first time that you've had a warning dream. And, you know, I so want to encourage our listening audience to find ways themselves where they can strengthen those spiritual aspects, those innate intuitive aspects within them, to be able to tune in and have that recognition that these things are possible to develop within us. And for sure, as you indicated, to make sure that you pay attention to them rather than ignoring them. Because I loved how you had said when you had, you know, that dream, you, well, you know, that sounds too weird. Or what, you know, I mean, my family, like yours, thinks I'm totally weird, and that's not going to change. So that's okay. You know, gotta love them anyway.
Yeah, I have to say, listen, they kind of roll their eyes, but they listen. And it's how I phrase it versus, you know, I think versus it's on my heart.
Oh, and yes. Now, we're having a little bit of bandwidth problem. Your bandwidth is bandwidth
on my heart.
A little bit. Yeah.
If I say it's on my heart, it's that feeling right here. It's a difference of Lonnie thinks or I think versus it's on my heart. When it's on my heart, it's coming from a different place. It's not just my thoughts or my intellect. It's coming from someplace else. And whatever that is on my heart, it's really important that we listen to that.
Yes.
And as a nurse, back in the day, you know, I would get that feeling to go check a patient and you know, find out my patient was in trouble or they needed me. There's been times when I've had my friends on my heart and I pick up the phone and they're like, oh, I was just thinking about you. I'm struggling with, it's as if you heard me. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And they laugh, but every time that feeling, I have to follow it. Because it's so important, and when I don't, it always bites me or the other person.
Yes.
And so yes. I'm careful with the words I use versus, like I said, you know, I think versus it's.
Yes.
I think it's Lonnie's opinion. It's more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, because
and
I've
had talked
that
about that
yeah.
in your
yeah,
show.
And many times, I had an intuition. It was like, this is a no, and I overwrote it, and every single time, boy, did I pay the price.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And that book that I talked about, The Gift of Fear, it, you know, to your listeners, read it. It literally, that intuition, that feeling has saved people's lives from very bad people. And he talked to survivors of that, you know, and you don't have to like understand where it comes from, but you do need to trust it, you know. It's so important because it literally can save you. My feeling, that dream saved my life.
Yes. Well, clearly, because the warning from your dream
so
was
that's
you
the
have
one message
to do
is,
it today.
You know, if you have that feeling, trust it. And you know, even if you...
I'm losing you a little bit here,
yep,
Lonnie. Yep. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yep.
But
and for it all to line up like that, it was cosmic. Because
oh,
that doesn't
God.
Happen.
One thing
you
after another.
You don't go from... Oh. I can hear you. And it all lined up to my betterment. And if it had not been for exactly the way it laid out, the outcome would have been much worse.
Yes. Yes. Yes, for sure. So... You know, And I always feel like, you know, my shop brings me people, and I love that it's that way, because, you know, our listeners want to know not just about famous people, but, you know, people that are like you and me kind of type, and that all of us have these capacities within us that can empower us in ways that I think, especially now in these times, I think so strongly that we need to, the feminine energy is more, I mean, it was always important, but I think very much more. I mean, Marianne Williamson talks about how the importance of having the feminine really take this new responsibility and take the stage in a way that I think that the whole existence needs right now. And that's, you know, that's something that I see everywhere is evidencing itself. And, you know, no accident that you came in, you know, just visiting the area, and your lovely husband, when he came in first, and we had a lovely exchange, and then he connected with you and brought you back even after one day when I wasn't there, but you guys persisted, and we made that connection.
Yes, and even that was very interesting how that happened, because he went into your shop and really connected, and you guys had a lovely conversation, and you very much impressed him. And he said, you know, you need to meet her. And I said, okay, you know, that's fine. Okay. And then we went to a Jeep ride, and in the shop of the Jeep was your book. And he picked it up and he goes, this is that lady, Lonnie. I want to buy this book. And I said, oh, well, okay, let's go back to the shop then, because you should buy it from her, not somebody else. And we ended up, you know, going back, and you weren't there. And he just really was like, no, you need to meet her. And I'm like, okay. And then this other thing that we did was like 5 minutes away. So I sent you, you know, I checked to see if you were going to be there, and you were. And the other thing that we did was very close to your shop. And so we were able to come in. But it was so funny that everywhere we went kind of ended up back at your shop, and yeah, I told you needed to meet her, and I'm like, you know, I just trust the universe, babe. You know, I just go with the flow, especially in Sedona. In Sedona, you just go with the flow. And we weren't supposed to be in Sedona; we were supposed to be in Maui.
Oh, you know? Wow!
Yeah, we were supposed to be in Maui, and thank goodness. We were actually going to be in Maui during the time of the horrible wildfires, but when
my God
was on jury duty, and I said to my sister, you know, I just have a feeling he might get picked and he might go longer, so let's slip this a week. And my sister, you know, the non-believer, was like, it's a good thing you had that feeling, Lonnie, or we would have been literally right there. And I'm like, yeah, I always kind of go with that, Michelle. But
wow.
And then we ended up, you know, being able to cancel and everything. And so then it was like, well, we've got vacation. Where are we going to go? How about Sedona? I've never been. I've always wanted to go. And so we ended up in Sedona, and here we are.
Yeah. And, you know, in Cottonwood, where I am, not a lot of people know that best kept secret. Because, you know, Cottonwood is just 15 minutes away from Sedona, but there's no promotion. You know, Sedona's gotten very commercial, and mm-hmm. Cottonwood, Old Town Cottonwood, where my shop is the way Sedona used to be, you know, very quaint.
Well, we drove through Cottonwood our first day because we were going to the train, and everything was ready to close up. But my sister and Terrell was like, this looks like a cool place. Let's come back. And so that's how we ended up coming back. And there was a little burger shop and the shake shop there. And we ate there. And I wasn't feeling super good. So I said, I'll wait in the car. You guys can go exploring. And And I was kind of doing some research on Jerome because we'd been in Jerome earlier in the day. And that's how Terrell ended up in your shop.
Yeah.
It all works itself out. You just have to just kind of go with the flow and be open to the energy you're supposed to
be. Well, and, you know, we got very deep into something when he came in. And I don't, you know, it's like I don't get into certain things with just everybody, but he was the only one in the shop. And I know, I mean, when he was walking out, he just kept looking at me like, you know, he couldn't quite believe what had just transpired, you know. And it was a deep conversation that I had with him in a very short period of time. And so, yeah, I trust also that, you know, these things are kismet, meant to be, whatever we want to label it. And you know, the universe, God, I've been someone who's chased every possible avenue to the divine. I lived in India for 6 months. I've done Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. I've been baptized 3 times. It's like I'm doing it all. I didn't miss any possible avenue I like that you had mentioned that you have such a diverse number of people praying for you, because, you know, I have had a fascination for, you know, all of the Muslim traditions and, you know, everything that we had a powerful, what I felt, connection to the God source. I call myself a sorceress. Because I feel I'm connected to Source. That's just, you know, it. I guess I always felt that way, possibly because of my precognitive dreaming and that sense of protection that I've always felt. And it's gotten more and more powerful, even more amplified in the last few years. I don't know if I shared with you that I had pneumonia and then I died for a minute and came back. And when I did, some sort of amplification of certain aspects of my being became very evidenced. In fact, the first few months that I came back from the other side, I actually didn't think I would ever be able to deal with third dimensional things or be around people anymore, because I couldn't even handle light. Everything was too bright. And I'm a normally previously very patient person, but I was finding if I even went to like the gas station or grocery store, I found I had little patience for what appeared to be stupid behavior with people around me. And, you know, I just found it irritating. So, you know, I just was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to handle being on Earth. I've got to figure out a way. But slowly those aspects, and I was seeing things that were, you know, things that, I guess the dimensions were just merging. I was seeing things that were walls moving and things that, you know, people would say, oh, let's put her away. She's gone over the edge. Let's get Kathleen over there. We better really make sure she's, safe from others.
I feel like when you've gone through something like that, you're so open to the input that it's overwhelming. You know, and so you need to do things to decrease the amount of sensory overload. And what to me you're describing is just being so open. And, you know, people who are very empathic have to be careful of that. As a nurse, I have to be careful of that because I am a healer. That's, you know, what I was drawn to from a young child. But you have to, in order to help, you can't feel everything. You can't feel other people's illness and emotion. You have to be able to be open, but also to have your filter appropriate so that you can be open to the
things that you need to be aware of so that you can help fix it or guide, but not own it as your own. And that's it.
Very, very important. I'm losing you a little bit there, but what I can say is that I worked for years with certain healers, and what they said about me was that I did not have that protective grid, so it made it a little difficult for me, because that protective grid that most people have, that they, she was trying to explain, that that was just not something that I came in with. So I know you were saying something, and I'm sure it was important. The signal just got such that we couldn't hear you, Lonnie. But try again.
I was talking about those skills being important to learn, and that you were overwhelmed from that. But you need, I'm sure that at this point, you've developed those skills a little more. And you do, you have to work on them.
We do. We
do. You know, because you are.
Oh, that bandwidth is bad. But we're coming to the close of our time, which I've so enjoyed and so appreciated. You know, for you to take your time from your busy day and be a guest on Wise Women and share your wonderful story so that other people can learn and perhaps move in the direction that we've been suggesting for people to do. And so, I think that, tell us that book once more that you suggested.
Gavin De Becker, The Gift of...
Gavin De Becker, The Gift of... Yeah, that bandwidth is not behaving. The Gift of Fear.
The Gift of Fear.
All right. Okay. Well, I hope everybody has enjoyed today's show. And I urge everyone to make sure that you stay tuned in for Kyle and Rodney and A Different Angle, because they always have great guests on there too. And so, Lonnie, with that, I really appreciate once again you're taking the time to be on Wise Women. And we will definitely.
Thank you so much for having.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'm going to make sure that you get that video that I told you about that Gary did to show you that wonderful ability that he has to heal. And, we all deserve to be healthy, happy, and wise. Okay. All right. With that said, I wish everyone a wonderful week ahead. I'll see you again next week. Take good care. It's Kathleen Francis signing off. Take good care. Bye-bye.